Good evening, one and all. Welcome to another adventure into the mystical halls of the Middle Chamber. Tonight's is a special broadcast, a ghost from Chambers past, if you will, when we were still on American Freedom Radio. It is my first gig as hostess, and I'm speaking to Rick Simpson about our favorite God-given plant and Rick's healing hero's journey. Why a classic, you asked? My beloved FX is off on his West Coast tour de force of truth and spreading his message in media and earning my own passage to the Olympia Sync Summit in August 8th and 9th in Olympia, Washington. I'd love to be there in support of Freighter X and rub elbows with his fellow sync heads. This is a trip I very much want to make, as I missed Free Your Mind 2 last year due to finances, etc., and I have always wanted to go to the Pacific Northwest, especially Olympia, because I felt a very strong draw to that area ever since reading Soul Catcher by Frank Herbert. And as luck would have it, our finances are in the same basic situation as they were before, and which is one of the reasons why he's on the tour. Any help that we can get from any of you would be more than welcome and greatly appreciated, and donations can be made to our PayPal, which is materx369@gmail.com. Thank you all very much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy my first foray into the Middle Chamber.
Your life, as it has been, is over.
Doesn't make things anymore. It's all on how do we afford them? Here comes soon.
Immediately, terminate.
Salutations. Welcome once again to the Middle Chamber. I'm Mater X, your hostess for the evening, and sitting in for my other half whilst he works diligently on his magnum opus. Our show this evening has been pre-recorded to fit the rightfully busy schedule of our guests tonight. As luck would have it, I greet you all with less than perfect vocal cords, and so please bear with me. Those of you lucky enough to have just happened upon us at this earlier hour, can also join us in the chat room at middlechamber.chatango.com or at the show's website, middlechamberfx.wordpress.com. I had the opportunity to speak with our guest for a special bonus podcast available on our website as well. Tonight's show, number 26, is airing for general consumption this evening, Saturday, November 10th, at our regular time, 6 p.m. Central. Thank you all for joining me here on my very first venture into the wonders of the Middle Chamber. I guess I can't back out now. Freighter X and I would like to extend our utmost gratitude to Swami Shivananda Giri for doing an exemplary job manning the helm last week. If you missed it, be sure to check the podcast in the archives at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We'd also like to send a few shouts out to our affiliates and new friends across the nation, WAPR-FM, Asheville Public Radio in Asheville, North Carolina, 100.1 out of Lake Travis FM, out of Lake Travis, Texas, and a little closer to home, Liberty and Justice Radio at 1640 on the AM dial, broadcast out of Shirley, Massachusetts. Well, another presidential election has come and gone, and not much else has changed. I have to be honest and say that the outcome that we have now is by far a better one than we were nearly faced with. I personally did not vote, though I had not delayed, registering due to straight-up disillusionment with the system, I probably would have voted for Jill Stein from the Green Party. But to be honest, I just couldn't, and I knew that a lot of people felt the same way. And of those, there would be a fairly decent number of them who wouldn't vote. And I was a little curious to see the outcome based on the lower-than-usual turnout. So let's see if Mr. Obama picks up a little speed in fulfilling some of his earlier goals this time around. Plus, I just have this way of not playing the game when I'm pretty sure it's rigged. In the 2004 article in my local paper during the presidential election, Diebold, the company that made the computerized voting machines, had pledged their support for George W. Bush. And it was right then, really, that I had lost faith in the system of election as it's laid out for us today. I voted then for Ralph Nader, as I did in the next election, because at least he was responsible for saving lives with a little thing we call the seatbelt, as opposed to spending them on illegal wars. I do have to give props to Democracy Now! For expanding the debates for those with the eyes and open mind to see that there were other options. And I hope that they may meet the ever-rising percentage points to be counted next time around. In case there are those of you who haven't heard the good news, Colorado and Washington State have made a remarkable step on a path to something amazing. With their recent legalization, or shall I say, coming to their senses, citizens of the states are finally now relieved of the stigma related to marijuana use. Amendment 64 in Colorado, which legalizes recreational use in adults, and Initiative 502 in Washington State, which regulates and taxes small amounts, sales of small amounts, are certainly steps to what I feel is in the right direction. And what all this means to those of us who would much really like to just grow our own and use it how we see fit for free remains to be seen. But I do see this as a good start. And now only if the medical community would just come clean about a few things, a lot of good things could happen. Which is something that our guest tonight has been working long and hard at to bring awareness to the blessing that is the marijuana plant and its healing property, THC. I am a firm believer that if we, the United States and the world at large, were simply to just remove all prohibitions against marijuana and hemp and just fracking legalize it, man, that this world would heal economically, environmentally, and spiritually in a much shorter time than any incremental changes that the legal process of lawmaking provides. And with all that said, and with more to come, I am very excited for our show tonight, a little high-spirited, if you will. As a proponent of re-examination and rewriting of certain drug laws, as well as a strong believer in the use of plants that Gaia has blessed us with to heal ourselves and live fuller and happier lives, I'm delighted to welcome tonight's guest, author of Phoenix Tears, The Rick Simpson Story, and progenitor of PhoenixTears.ca. Rick Simpson has long been on a crusade of sorts to awaken as many as possible to the multitude of benefits towards one's well-being, while expounding on the blatant deception and suppression and the brutal truth that the cures to what ails us all in one form or 25,000 others comes from one simply beautiful and magnificently complex green plant. In my humble opinion, it is one of the only things that I can think of that really would be a step in the right direction turning things around on this planet. It's with great pleasure that I welcome Mr. Rick Simpson to the middle chamber. Mr. Thanks. Simpson... You're welcome. Sorry.
And there's nothing humble about that opinion. You're exactly right. We should just legalize this everywhere and grow it everywhere and use it in every possible way. Because what we're going through right now is nothing short of insanity.
I agree. You've had quite an interesting life, Mr. Simpson. Seems that you began your path of rebellion in your preteens. And you got fed up with the system of learning that was offered to you, and you went on to become a lumberjack and then a boxer. And after hearing Muhammad Ali speak out against the war, I am glad that you took his his advice there and didn't go on to fight, because if I recall, it was voluntary for Canadians to join or not join the war effort in Vietnam. And if you had gone, then you wouldn't possibly be here today to be a voice for us all. And I'm glad you listened to him.
You're quite right. There's a very good chance that could have happened. And I will always have a great deal of gratitude to Muhammad Ali for being the man he is. Unfortunately, I know he's suffering, from his own problems, medically. And we did try to contact Muhammad Ali quite a few years ago. But, I mean, we've done this many times with well-known, celebrities and things like that to try to make them aware of this oil. But, in reality, it's almost impossible to get through to these people. So, Mr. Ali, if you are listening to this broadcast, take a good look at hemp oil. It may be the answer to your problems.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just find it very interesting how many people in higher offices that you've gone to and with proof to all that they had to do was to look at it and to just be told, oh, well, we're not even going to go there. And if you just want to legalize pot and all of that, it's just ridiculous to me as a person who believes that it really is so beneficial to us all that they'd be so fearful. Maybe sometimes I think, it's a fear of like admitting the truth to yourself, like admitting that you yourself were so easily duped by the powers that be that you gave your trust and liberty to, basically.
Well, you're quite right, dear. I think that's a great deal of the problem, is people just don't want to admit that, that they've been brainwashed. And there's no question here that's exactly what happened. We all like to think that we're intelligent, and I guess to some degree most of us are. But, we have been badly fooled on this one. And, it was always just about money. Let's make more money. No matter what they had to do, that was their only goal. But, it's bad enough that when we have to put up with everything else in our lives being run in this way. But, when it comes to our own health, medicine should not be about money. It should be about healing. And this is not what I see in the medical system today. It's just rampant corruption everywhere you look. I mean, they're just out there trying to fill their pockets, and all they give us is chemicals, poison, radiation, CAT scans. My God, anybody with a brain in their head should know that these treatments and substances they use, it just doesn't make any sense. You're suffering from a severe illness, so I think I'll poison you. What a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? It's hard to believe that, like you said, that we've been duped so badly, but we have been, and we have to stand up and admit it to ourselves. It's time for us to evolve into something better than what we have been. And by growing the cannabis hemp plant and using it properly, we can do just that.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually at the gas pump yesterday, and it just kind of came to me, this silly little fantasy of, like, what if the world woke up tomorrow and we just legalized it, and anybody who wanted to could grow it for their own personal use, or to, give it to the rest of the world and for the multitude of other uses that it has that are non-medicinal. And I thought that if even just half of the crops that were grown around the world, but in particular right here where I'm at in North America, if they were just half of them would be replaced with hemp, I mean, just think of what we could do as a world if we were allowed to just do that, if we would give the research and development money to this as opposed to yet another pharmaceutical chemical poison that they're just going to give you for this, that, or the other thing. And then 5 years later, they come back and say, oh, well, guess what? It was bad for you all along. And now all these lawyers are here to say to you, hey, if you've gotten this illness or that illness, hey, let's just, let's sue the companies. And it's like this job security of death. And it just seems so wrong to me.
Well, it is totally wrong. There's no question. And I really don't know how, physicians, can look at themselves in the mirror knowing what they're doing. I mean, are they really that stupid? And if they really are that stupid, perhaps they shouldn't be working on, human beings. And obviously, we should not be listening to their advice. I mean, it's, like I said to you before, if you asked a 10-year-old child, you know, are chemicals and poison good for you, the child would instantly say no. But that's what doctors use every day to heal us. You know, so something's badly wrong here. When a child knows more about medicine and has more common sense than a doctor, I think we can honestly say that our medical systems are in trouble, and they certainly are.
Yeah, if only we'd listen to the children a little bit more often. My kids are the same way in the sense that they just they watch me and they think and they hear what I have to say about certain things, and I allow them to ask me questions, and I tell them that it's just my opinion and that they can eventually form their own. But, you know, you look at them and you see that they're taking in what you're telling them, and you can see in their reactions what they believe is truth and not. And children are still so in touch with something that's so much deeper than us as adults have a connection to anymore. And they really do know what's true. I mean, I could say even about the whole war effort that we're involved in right now, my children don't even have a clue as to why we are involved in something like this. It just doesn't make any sense, you know? And
it makes perfect sense. I mean, if you, you know, if you want to control another country's resources, steal their oil, you know, and whatever else you want, because that's all it is. I mean, these are not wars to bring democracy. You know, these are, you know, they're bombing these other nations right back to the Stone Age, just so they can control their natural resources. You know, and I think that's disgusting. You know, like,
yes.
I mean, it's so, when you sit and you think of that term genocide, which is obviously what's happening in our medical system, but it's not only happening there. It's actually happening every time they send troops to these foreign countries, because they're committing genocide against these countries. Because in truth, they have no business to even be there. You know, it's just, it's almost incomprehensible that all of this is going on, and that, you know, and that young men and young women are going to these battle zones, you know, and killing innocent people and being killed themselves. You know, why? So some guy in a fancy suit in a big office can have more money in his bank account? I don't think that's a good reason to go to war. Do you?
No, I don't think anybody really does, except for the ones who just buy it. I just can't see how they do it.
Well, you know, it makes me so mad when you look at all of human history. You know, we're supposed to be so smart and we're supposed to be so intelligent. Well, just look at our history.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the way it reads. You know, one war after another, all we've ever seen is bloodshed. You know, like, you know, we always come up with these sayings like, you know, we're the human race and we learn by our mistakes. Well, obviously, I don't see where we've learned a damn thing, because we're still making and, you know, repeating these same mistakes.
Over and over again. It doesn't matter what society it is.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you know, all wars should be called to a halt. No more of this nonsense. You know, if we can't evolve into something better than this, then possibly this planet might be a lot better off if the human race no longer existed. You know, because we're killing ourselves, we're killing all the other living creatures on this planet, you know, with our uncaring attitudes and the way, you know, we behave in our everyday lives. You know, we're all helping these people. In a way, we're all helping them to kill us.
Right.
You know, let's use more fossil fuels. Let's, you know, build some more nuclear power plants. We don't need any of this. Grow the hemp plant, produce your own energy, you know, or we could do this in huge energy farms. But the, you know, like these energy providers, they always like to use the argument, you know, we can't let hemp grown that way because it would use up our valuable farmland. Well, that's
right, exactly. Rick, we're coming up on a break. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we are coming up on a break, and I'd love to pick that up where we left off, or we can go on.
Okay, dear.
So we'll be back on American Freedom Radio. This is the Middle Chamber.
Nicotine, alcohol, good drugs. Coincidentally, tax drugs. Ooh, how does this work? Thank God they're taxing alcohol, man. It means we got those good roads we can drive on. Because I'll tell you something, I'll be honest, man. If I were going to legalize a drug, it sure wouldn't have been alcohol. Sorry, there's better drugs and better drugs for you. That's a fact. Pot is a better drug than alcohol. Fact. Fact. Stop your internal dialogue. Bill, alcohol's... Shut up! You're wrong. Get over it. I'll prove it to you, man. You're at a ball game or a concert, and someone's really violent and aggressive and obnoxious. Are they drunk or are they smoking pot? They're drunk. I have never seen people on pot get in a fight because it is impossible. Hey, buddy. Hey, what? Hey, hey. End of argument.
Everyone, we're sitting here with Rick Simpson, author of Phoenix Tears, The Rick Simpson Story, and we are talking about hemp. Awesome. I thought it was really funny during the break that we had a Bill Hicks, a really significantly coincidental, shall we say, Bill Hicks quote or soundbite that I think was a perfect segue to what we're talking about today. Before the break, Rick and I were talking about war, and so, in particular, the wars that we're in, and also war in general, needing to just end, and I couldn't agree more. One thing that I thought that came up to me as we were talking was the fact that, well, if I remember correctly, Taliban rule, not that I necessarily agree with their particular stance on life and the world, but I believe that under Taliban rule, the growth of the poppy flower was restricted, which probably significantly cut into the opiate-based pharmaceutical market, which we have today. And then as soon as we went right back into, as soon as we went into Afghanistan, rather, I believe they made it happen again. Allowed poppy growth again, and I think that that's just ridiculous. So to me, this seems like it's not exactly just a war over oil, but it's quite simply a war over resources, like you stated, Rick. A drug war, ironically enough.
I don't think that our governments are over there in Afghanistan and places like that obviously we know they're not trying to eradicate the poppy, because you're absolutely correct. When the Taliban was in control, they tore up the poppy plants and they replanted hemp. As soon as the Americans landed there, and the Canadians and the English and several other countries, instantly they tore up the hemp and replanted the poppies. And something like, what was it, over 80% of the heroin on this planet comes from guess where? Afghanistan.
So who would have thought?
I don't think it's really much to do with the drug companies. The simple fact is, our governments are the biggest drug dealers in the world, and they always have been. And I cannot fathom why people can't see that. I mean, who in America doesn't know what the CIA did in Central America? You know, all those plane loads of cocaine that they shipped in. That was the CIA. What, right. The American people don't know this? And is the CIA not, a branch of government? You know, so who's the drug dealers? I think it just might be the governments. Very sad situation, dear. Very sad. And they control the news media, and they just keep bombarding us with all these lies and propaganda. And it seems like the average person just swallows it. But thank God some of us are awake.
Well, think about that for a second, Rick. You've mentioned how you had had some not quite coherent moments while you were on those pharmaceutical medications, and how when you started taking your hemp oil, the world kind of cleared up in a way for you, which kind of is anathema to the idea, you know, the propaganda against marijuana and hemp use, that it clouds your brain and fogs your mind.
Just the opposite.
Right. And to me, in my personal opinion, I think that the fog that's created by pharmaceuticals allows us to be more easily susceptible to programming and whatnot. And frankly, marijuana makes you stop letting all that stuff in. In my opinion, it makes me think about a million other things, really.
Of course it does. And that's one of the wonders of this plant. You know, it makes most people much more rational, and they think about things more clearly. And of course, that's exactly what the governments don't want. But you know, when you look at the chemicals and everything that they supply us, I mean, how dare they even call this garbage medicine? You know, it's not fit for human consumption. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, if you want real medicine, well, let's use the hemp, you know, let's use the oil produced from the hemp plant, and let's use that as a standard of safety. Why don't these drug companies compare these new medications that they want to introduce into the market? Why don't they compare them to hemp to see how effective they are?
Right, if they did,
they would find out all the substances they're producing are nothing but poison, and they are not nearly as safe, and they are not nearly as effective as, you know, high-grade oil produced from the hemp plant.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the whole pharmaceutical industry is nothing but a sham.
I hear you. Makes me think of something I read in your book, Rick, about your friend's father who, well, he'd ultimately had diabetes and then a heart condition, and then he'd been diagnosed with lung cancer. And he was in his 80s, and you gave them the hemp oil, and he started using it, and he turned right around. It was just amazing, the account of that. That he lived another 15 months after the doctors had given him 48 hours to live, and how even with his, he'd had diabetes, and how that turned him around too. And it makes me think of not just the insulin shots that people are required to take when they've got diabetes to regulate their blood sugar and everything like that, but also the fake sugars that are in the market right now that are just chemically twisted. And I mean, excuse me, Splenda is made with chlorine, and NutraSweet is made with formaldehyde. I mean, all of these things are poisonous, and yet they're given to people who can't have sugar. Whereas if hemp oil was available to us regularly and freely, they might not even need to worry about that.
Well, these horrible sweeteners like you're talking about, Donald Rumsfeld had a great deal to do with that, because he's the one that introduced this garbage back in the 1980s. And actually, there was other forms of it even before then.
I wasn't even aware of that, sorry.
You know, these artificial sweeteners are not safe at all. They cause, as a matter of fact, it's been proven that they cause cancer. So, I mean, the bottom line is, and I started doing this many years ago myself, if you want to sweeten something, use something like honey. Natural honey. There's nothing better for you.
I know, right? Honey or agave or stevia. Any multitude of other natural sweeteners that are out there that are not sugar.
And they're not harmful. That's the big difference.
Yeah, with my children, when I can tolerate them coming shopping with me, because it's not always the most entertaining experience for me, but when I do have them go with me, I make sure to have them read those labels. And if they don't know what something is, I explained to them that I don't really know what it is either. And would you really want to be putting that into your body? No, I didn't think so. And then they'll bring me something that's, low fat or whatever that's you think should be good for you because it's lower in fat and lower in calories and all that stuff. But then it's got this laundry list of other non-foodie things that go into it. And it's supposed to be good for you, but it's really bad for you. And even my children don't understand it, you know? Again, with the children.
It's hard for any of us to understand here. But going back to that subject we were on before the break, as far as, like, when you look at the... heck, I lost it. We were talking about, oh, yeah, it was about the energy supply companies. I know I did an interview one night, somebody that worked for the energy suppliers called in, and he told me that growing your own hemp and producing your own energy was not feasible. And I asked him, I said, why? And he said, well, the cost, you know, of trucking it for hundreds of miles to have it processed. And I said, you know, well, why couldn't a person just process it themselves? It's not really that hard. But these energy providers, they love to use the argument, you know, that if we used hemp or if we grew hemp on a big scale, it would eat up all our valuable farmland. Well, that is total nonsense because, you know, hemp can grow even in poor soils. But what we have to remember is when you're growing hemp, you're not only growing a magnificent food source, an energy source, and a source of medicine, you're growing something that you can produce 50,000 different things from. Practically everything in our day-to-day lives could be made from hemp. Our homes, our cars, our boats, anything. You know, and we could create so many, you know, environmentally friendly jobs, you know, in hemp-based industries. If we just would start producing this plant and, you know, and using it properly. It's all so damn simple, but, you know, they would just want to go on drilling holes and, like I said, more nuclear plants and, you know, let's see how fast we can destroy this planet. And I'm telling you right now, they're doing one hell of a job of it.
They sure are. I don't know if you had a chance to see that movie that came out a few years ago, the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. There was one particular part that I don't remember was in the original. It's been a while since I'd seen the original movie before, but there was a point where Klaatu had said to the female protagonist that if humans die, the Earth goes on living. But if the Earth dies, we all die.
You got it. That's exactly right. I look at the Earth as almost like a living entity itself.
Me too.
And if, like you say, if we poison this Earth badly enough, nothing can survive on this planet. The Earth will continue, but ourselves and many other species, we won't.
And I wonder sometimes if this crazy weather that we've been having over the last decade, you know, with all the hurricanes and tsunamis and really big earthquakes and everything all over the world. Personally, I think that a lot of it might have to do, at least with the earthquakes, with fracking and oil drilling. That's my personal take on it. But I think that it could also be a reaction from the planet to all of the things that we're doing to it. Instead of we just keep taking and taking and we're not putting enough back and we're not giving enough back. And anybody, even, you know, a human being, if you just keep taking and you just take all their energy, eventually they're going to get pissed off at you and they're going to strike back. And the way that Mother Nature does it is by sending these horribly strong storms to wipe things out so we can start again. I mean, that's how I look at it sometimes. And It makes sense to me.
Well, I mean, what you said there about gas fracking, that's absolutely correct. I mean, they are poisoning all our groundwater. Well, I mean, as far as I know, I think it's a necessity that we have water. But if you poison all the water because of this fracking, what are we going to drink? You know, and they're doing this everywhere. If you bring up a map of the United States and check out, you know, the different areas that they're doing, you know, all of this in. It's practically, they want to do this thing, they want to do this to the whole United States, and not just the states, but many countries all over the planet. And so we ruin the water tables, therefore we have nothing to drink. We have, you know, the water we had that we take from the ground is poison. So what are we going to do, water our crops with this garbage? You know, I mean, it's so insane. And when you look at these things today, like, the chemtrails. I know I've seen them here in Europe all the time. And, you know, like...
Well, we see them here, too.
Right over the population centers. You know, you can see where it begins and you can see where it ends. And it just hangs there. And after about an hour, well, usually there's a whole, you know, there's many of these, you know, strips across the sky. But after about an hour, usually they'll start and they just seem to dissipate. And the whole sky goes like a milky white. You know, they're just healthy. It's changing the pH of the soil and it will affect our, you know, our farm crops. And then we have all these people today are talking about Morgellons disease, you know, where they're pulling these little fibers out of these sores that are,
You know, I've heard about that. That is horrifying.
Oh, it's beyond belief. And I think it all has something to do with the spraying they're doing. And as far as I'm concerned, these wonderful pilots that are pushing that lever to do that spraying, it's too bad that we couldn't go to their homes and do the same. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Now, why do we blindly follow these dumb orders? You know, if somebody told me to get in an airplane, and I was a pilot, to go over a population center and spray it, I would tell them to go to hell. You know, but of course, if they did, they would lose their job, wouldn't they?
Oh, for sure, and then some. Sometimes I wonder if it's like, it's this detachment that it's not happening to mine, then it's not such a big deal. I shouldn't have to worry about it. I think that that fuels a lot of the, you know, the increase in the use of unmanned drones in various parts of the world, because it's a lot easier to push a button from halfway around the world, because not only do you not have to see the destruction from high up in a plane, you don't even have to notice it. It's just a blip on the map. And well, I like to ask people who I know who disagree with me about or rather agree with the course of action that's being taken, because they're so afraid of somebody coming over here and doing the same to them. How would they feel if it was them or someone that they knew that was having this happen? I mean, wouldn't they want to fight back like the other guys did? Looks
sure
like we're coming up on another break. We'll pick right back up where we left off. It's been a great time so far, Rick. We are listening to The Middle Chamber on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We'll be back in just a moment with Mr. Rick Simpson.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream. Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
But we have a conversation to continue. We're back with Rick. Rick, there was something you wanted to mention we talked about during the break. You want to go ahead and do so?
During your introduction, I know you didn't mean it that way, but it kind of come off sounding like I was always some type of renegade. But in truth, I never really was that. I mean, I spent 32 years working for the system, and I had hardly any troubles legally my entire life. Until I started, you know, producing this medicine. And then there were plenty of legal problems. So I would just like people to understand that, I'm just an ordinary man. You know, I worked my entire life, and, unfortunately I was injured. And then they turned around, and when they, after I was hurt, they didn't help me in any way. They just gave me chemicals and poisons, and I got worse and worse and worse. And I can tell you right now, if I hadn't have found the oil from that hemp plant, I wouldn't be sitting here today. And I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. As a matter of fact, I always tell people on these interviews, don't believe a word I'm saying. Simply go out, buy 1 ounce of good hemp bud, produce the essential oil, go find somebody with a diabetic ulcer, a skin cancer, or severe burn, put the oil on, put a bandage on, put fresh oil and change the bandage every 3 days, watch what happens. Anybody can prove this. So, and I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. I'm just trying to bring the public the truth.
Well, I'm sorry if I implied that, Rick.
No, it was unintentional. I knew that, dear. But it does sound like...
I look up to you so much because of the fact that you have given it away to so many people. And all you're asking in return is for the world to wake up, you know? And I equate you with other personal heroes of mine, frankly. Like John Lennon, I think, was a really big voice to the people. And... also Tim DeChristopher and his crusade to try to at least take back some of the land of this country from the corporate interests, and Leonard Peltier, how he has just stuck to his guns and stayed in prison for decades now to stand up for his people, you know. And so I'm not sure if any of them started out as renegades, but as soon as they found the truth to what was going on in the world around them, I mean, what choice other than becoming a rebel did they have, really?
In truth, you don't have any choice. You know, like when I found this out, I mean, there's no possible way that I could live with myself. I mean, if I didn't bring this forward, I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror in the morning, knowing that people are suffering and dying everywhere, and I have the answer, and I'm sitting there with my mouth shut. That's not what I'm about. You know, I'm a very honest person, and I don't mind speaking my mind, obviously. But, you know, we've got to do something a whole lot better than this, and we've got to do it quick. You know, because we are, in a very short time, we are going to go extinct, whether the people out there want to believe it or not. But, it's something that can be avoided if we would just simply start growing this plant properly and using it. You know, and start cleaning this planet up, detoxifying this earth, and shutting the nuclear plants down. And, you know, and with the wind energy, solar energy, and all the energy we can get from plants like the cannabis plant, I mean, there's no need for us to be doing any of this nonsense. And, you know, every time they drill another well, that just shortens our life expectancy that much more.
I know. It's frustrating, to say the least. The truth of that. Well, there were some other questions that I'd had, or rather points that I wanted to bring up. I was wondering, in your research and development of the hemp oil that you've been treating people with, have you found any research on the use of hemp oil to really treat mental illness, as opposed to using the multitude of chemicals that they offer us to do things like that, to regulate brain chemistry and calm the hyper or inspire the lethargic.
We've had amazing results with different types of mental disorders, things like schizophrenia, you know, even that. And schizophrenia is one of the most horrible things I think anybody can have. Mm-hmm. We just had magnificent results. You know, in life we all have problems, you know, we all get depressed at times and sometimes life isn't that good. But, you know, I don't see any reason for anybody to be filling people full of chemicals and, mm-hmm. you know, and all this garbage, so they can exist. Believe me, I mean, I took a lot of these chemicals myself. And when you're on these substances, you're not existing. You know, you might as well be dead, because that's the way they make you feel. You know, hemp oil is the only thing that I know of. I'm not saying there isn't other natural things out there that are wonderful healers also. But, I mean, all through history, this plant has been recognized to be the greatest healer on Earth. You know, over 5,000 years of medicinal use, and our governments won't even call it a medicine. What's wrong with their heads? You know, I just don't.
They'll call it more dangerous than crack cocaine, Rick.
Yeah, right. Now our governments are much more dangerous than crack cocaine. That's what we have to be afraid of.
I was curious, as a parent, have you found any information regarding the use of hemp oil with children for treating things like ADD or things like that?
Well, I've stated right along that, you know, if I had a child and they gave them that idiotic diagnosis, I would give them oil. I wouldn't even think about giving them something like Ritalin because, well, Ritalin is the same as amphetamines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you really want to fill your child full of amphetamines because some teacher somewhere said that they have attention deficit disorder? You know, the whole thing's just a scam anyway because, yeah. You know, the teacher diagnoses the illness, the doctors provide the prescription, and the drug companies give money back to the school.
And the child in question suffers.
Oh, of course. I mean, we don't have any idea. You take somebody today, you take a child 7 or 8 years old. In fact, they'll even give them, these horrible drugs even when they're much younger.
Oh, I know
but
they do.
We don't know the side effects. I mean, what's that going to do to that child in 10, 15, 20 years?
You know, especially the ones that have only been around for maybe 3 or 5 years.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, these chemicals, you know, in the fluoride in our water, all the chemicals that are in these prescriptions the doctors give us, they are dumbing us down. And they are affecting the way we think in a very bad way. And, I mean, it's like I said, I think today most people have lost their capacity for rational thought. You know, and they just blindly believe whatever they're told. But that's not what it is to be human. When we stop questioning, we stop living.
I agree. You know, I have a few friends that are from Jamaica, and they told me that as they were growing up, their mothers or grandparents would give them a little bit of ganja butter, or maybe they probably made oil out of it, too, because they've been using it for a while, too.
Jamaica's famous for that. As a matter of fact, the healthiest babies born on this planet are born to mothers in Jamaica who use
That's
hemp
what I've
a great
heard.
Deal.
And you know?
Like I said, you know, if hemp won't harm a baby in the womb, why would it harm a child? You know, this medicine is good for all age groups, and I have supplied oil to children. I won't deny that. You know, everything from children to, well, actually, my oldest patient, the last time I talked to him, he was 102 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
So all
groups.
That's incredible. Yeah, I certainly would give my children hemp oil over any of the other chemicals in a heartbeat, you know, because not that I do. I don't believe that a child needs to be medicated per se. I mean, there are certain things, you know, like that you could probably treat them for, and I'm sure that there are certain conditions that are a little bit more severe than others. But for just to have a, you know, this like what seems to be a habit of diagnosing kids with ADD for just being children, frankly, you know, and to me it's awful. And I would much rather my child use hemp oil than give them Ritalin or Adderall or whatever that they give them these days, just to make them little docile, obedient, little cookie-cutter kids. I mean, children are so different, each one of them, and they're just amazing. And to try to chemically conform them is just wrong, you know, in my opinion. And I mean, we're doing that on a massive scale to everybody, really, but to do it to children, to me, is just awful.
Well, even people that speak about this subject, when I was in Slovenia at the World Hemp Congress, there was a gentleman there, and he was speaking about hemp, you know, and medicinal uses. There was quite a few different people there, including myself, of course. And he came out and stated that a recent study proved that, you know, smoking pot is harmful to children. And I questioned him on it. And he wouldn't really give me an answer. He just came out and stated, you know, he said, well, the study has been done. So I waited until he was done speaking, and I got him outside. And I walked up to him, and I said, you know who I am. And I said, I want you to explain to me. Tell me what the harm is. And he looked at me and he said, oh, well, you're from Canada. And I looked at him and I said, what's that got to do with it? And he said, well, in Canada, you know, all you people over there, you all smoke your pot, you know, straight. You don't mix tobacco in it. I said, so what's that got to do with it? And he said, well, here in Europe, we always, you know, most people mix tobacco. And he said, that's where the harm factor would be, in the tobacco. And I looked at him and I said, why didn't you say that when you were on the stage? You know,
because that wouldn't have been good for his business, I guess. We're coming up on another break, Rick. Can we pick this up right where we left off? I'd really love to go more into this.
Sure can, dear.
Awesome.
Thank you. will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
You had said you wanted to mention something.
Yes, and thank you for the opportunity, dear. A good friend of mine, who I consider to be probably the top activist in Slovenia, just a couple weeks after we held the World Hemp Congress in that country, the police raided his home, and they put him in jail for possessing 4 plants. And right after that, he went on a hunger strike. Now, today is the 50th day. This man has been on a hunger strike. And I want the Slovenian government to know that I will never forgive them for what they are doing to this man. And I will haunt whoever is responsible until the day I die. Thank you.
I don't know what to say. That's just...
It's horrifying.
You know,
this is a good man who's helping people, and they've got him locked away. And I'm very much afraid that he's going to die. You know, and the only chance I get to say anything is like doing an interview or something like this, because, of course, the news media, they won't do anything about it. So at least
right.
I do have a chance to, you know, to voice my opinions to the world. And what I think, you know, what I see, you know, in Slovenia, I think is nothing but disgusting. You know, other countries over here are opening the doors for this medication. And it looks like to me like Slovenia is slamming them.
Kind of got to wonder what their agenda is then in that kind of a situation.
It's so obvious that this medicine is going to change the face of the way we live, and it's going to change the face of medicine forever. There's no stopping it now. People, millions of people all over the planet are using it. You know, this is not something that's going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think governments, especially like the ones in Slovenia, they better wise up, and they better do it quick.
Well, eventually enough people are going to find out, wake up, to it. And unfortunately, these sorts of things take more time than we would like for them to happen. And unfortunately, like with any real change, sometimes bad things have to happen. And it just sucks, to be honest with you.
It's bad enough when you look at all the, you know, millions of years in prison time that people have spent over this plant. You know, a God-given plant, and they put you
Families
in jail
ruined.
For following it. You know, that, to me, and Jack Herer, he felt the same way about this that I did. You know, he was horrified. You know, but there's so little you can do. And there's another man in the U.S., another very well-known activist named Eddie Lepp. You know, and he's, I think, about 3 years in now on a 10-year sentence. You know, this is ridiculous. Eddie Lepp never hurt anyone in his life. You know, but the government saw fit to lock him away, didn't they? No, so it's like I said, you know, I don't want any retribution over this issue. I don't think it would serve any real purpose. But I do want the world to know who's responsible. At least we do have the right to that.
For sure. Absolutely. It's just...
And I have to say, when Obama got reelected, I just shook my head. But then again, like you said, well, Romney, that's not much of an alternative. It's too bad that somebody like Ralph Nader or somebody that actually, you know, has some backbone and, you know, that would stand up and take these corporations on. It's too bad that they wouldn't elect somebody like that as president of the United States. And then the U.S. might become the great country it used to be.
I agree. But, you know, they'd have to be allowed to see. The people would have to be allowed to know that these other people even exist. You know, if it hadn't been to For Democracy Now! Doing a parallel expanded debate for the presidential debates, there would be almost no outlet for people to find out that there actually were other viable, more human-minded people actually trying to come into this office. You know, it bothers me to no end that, you know, there's this whole rhetoric on throwing your vote away for a third party. How are you supposed to think of it otherwise if you're not even allowed to know that there's a viable third party, fourth party, fifth or sixth party option out there? I mean, I believe there in Canada, there are multiple parties holding office. Not that any of them are listening to the truth about marijuana, but at least they have a multi-party system, you know. And here in America, we're given two.
Well, this is what I've said along with. We have to get rid of all these parties. Parties breed corruption. You know, the rich just go in there and they buy up the parties, and then the parties get elected, you know, and then when they're put in power, they're not representing us. They're representing their rich friends. So the whole thing is idiotic. You know, people go out on election day and they vote, and they, you know, and they think they're doing something. Well, no, you're not doing anything. And when I look at Obama, after the last 4 years of what I've seen him doing, if he wants to make a gesture that makes some sense to the American people, then why don't he tell that outfit called the DEA to cease and desist? Enough with all these idiotic raids. No, it's just about time. If Obama wants to be president, it's just about time he became one.
I agree. A moment ago, sorry, I had to cough. A moment ago, you had brought up the whole concept of water. And I'm a big believer in the thinking, like you, that we actually need drinkable water on this planet. And I don't know if you've... there was a documentary that came out a few years ago called Flow. And it went into the corporate... co-optation, I don't even know if that's a real word, but the corporate takeover of the water of this planet.
Oh, yes, all these water companies buying up the water rights. I mean, that's insane. You know, when I was younger, if somebody had told me that the day would come that we'd be buying water in Canada, I would have laughed at them, you know, because we have water everywhere. But that's exactly what's happening, the same in the U.S., the same all over Europe. They're all buying bottled water in nice plastic bottles that off-gas dioxin.
You know? I know, right?
It wouldn't be so bad
if those were plastic bottles made from hemp, produced from, you know, or plastic made from hemp.
Then they wouldn't be harmful.
Right. Those islands of plastic that are floating in the ocean. That's just awesome, I think.
Oh, it's truly scary there. You know, like, we have so much pollution on this planet, and, you know, if we used, you know, like, things like hemp are, you know, are biodegradable, and they don't do harm. So, you know, if we can produce all these products from hemp, why aren't we doing it? And we could produce these products, you know, and it would give millions and millions of people jobs that they desperately need right now. You know, because when you look at the United States, I mean, you know, how many factories are still working? You know, they all moved to Taiwan and Mexico. You know, like, the United States is just not what it used to be. You know, when I was young, I used to think the U.S. was the greatest country in the world. And at that time, I think it likely was.
Right.
But over the last 40, 50 years, I've just watched it, you know, go right down the drain. You know, and you know, in all honesty, the people of the United States, they really don't have any representation at all. All they have is people up there standing, you know, in front of them, giving them a bunch of double talk.
Leading us through fear. And convincing us that we couldn't possibly do things on our own. I agree so much there. I was going to say something. It totally just flew away. Before the break, you were talking about that conference also, and I just wanted to highlight the whole the harmful aspect of marijuana use, the only harmful aspect that I can see is the actual act of smoking it. And that's just because...
It's not harmful here.
Right. Smoking in general. I mean, the act of smoking in general, bringing smoke into your body. But that's not something that I disagree with. I mean, I think that it has a benefit no matter how you apply the medicine. You know, no matter what the application, you're going to get some benefit from it. And
I stated in my book there, you know, about that. When I was younger, I mean, I was 35 before I started smoking pot. But when I was about 20 years old, all my friends were smoking it. And, you know, I watched them coughing and gagging, and I thought they were hurting themselves. You know, of course, no medical background, and I just thought it must be harmful. But, you know, as time went on, and by now I understand what this medicine actually does. And, you know, even smoking a joint is definitely beneficial, because when you inhale, you know, the cannabinoids into your lungs, they loosen up all of the toxins. That, you know, from just breathing the air that we breathe today is poison. And if you're a cigarette smoker or anything like that, then it makes you cough up all these toxins. So, in other words, it's doing you a favor. It's keeping you healthy. So nobody can tell me that smoking pot isn't a healthy thing to do. You know, when you compare it with drinking or taking pharmaceuticals or any of that nonsense.
Or tobacco.
You know, or tobacco, yes. And of course, I smoke that too, but... But I always kind of laugh at it because, to me, you know, people are shocked, you know, oh, you smoke. And I say, yeah, so what? I cure cancer. I don't even tell lung cancer patients to stop smoking when I treat them. And, you know, 3 months
because
later,
you're healing them
they're cured.
Inside. That's incredible. See, I made the decision a while back to choose one thing to smoke or not. And I chose marijuana. I'll admit it.
Good choice.
To tobacco. And, you know, frankly... I used to be a gal who party right with the rest of them. You know, I've never considered myself of having a drinking or even a recreational drug problem. But, you know, I lived it up when I was younger. And I've drank more than I probably needed to in my life. But I don't drink very much anymore. And I think that part of the reason why is my body's found a way to get away from it. And
a lot of people don't see the harm in drinking until they stop, and then they see it.
Right.
You know, I noticed that I stopped drinking. Well, you know, I'll still have a bottle of beer now and then, but very rare. I drink very little. But when I was about 37, I stopped. I was backing away from the alcohol then anyway. But when I was about around 37, I stopped for 3 years. You know, drinking any hard liquor or any liquor, and you know, all the friends I thought I had, I no longer had. And when I, you know, when I was around them, you know, I seen them for what they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think you're charming when you're all drunk and you're in somebody's face, you know, spitting all over them. You know, there's nothing charming about alcohol.
No.
And I think I agree with that statement earlier about if anything should be actually made illegal, it should be alcohol, not cannabis. Never
kills more people than almost anything else. In one form or in one way or another, it kills more people.
Between alcohol and the doctors, that's a death sentence.
So ironic. It really is. So very ironic. Rick, last year I came across a video about the healing effects of marijuana. And they were talking also about the nutritional benefits of juicing the marijuana plants. And how it helped some people who were living with conditions like lupus just make a complete turnaround and be able to go through life. I can imagine that if they were using the hemp oil, that it would be even more so for them.
Much, much more effective, dear. And that's a great deal of the problem today. You know, I put out the instructions on how to produce that oil and how to use it properly. And, you know, and my oils have been tested, and they test very, very high, you know, in cannabinoid levels, up around 97 to 98% usually. But, you know, when I look at all these other methods that people are using, you know, they're coming out with cannabinoid contents that are much lower. So, I mean, when you're treating somebody with a serious illness, you don't want a watered-down medicine. You want the strongest medicine possible. And it horrifies me today because people are running around, they're screaming about, oh, you know, you need CBD oil. Well, to me, I think that's nonsense because, I mean, there's CBDs, you know, that's just a cannabinoid, and there's CBDs, you know, in pot, period. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I was producing this medication back home, you know, I always looked for the strongest, most, you know, potent, sedative, medicinal strain, indica strains possible. You know, and in reality, I mean, you could get high as a kite on these strains. But by using this CBD oil, they're trying to take the high out of it. And I honestly think that the high is a very important part of the healing process because it promotes sleep. And it also kills pain. It does all kinds of wonderful things. So, I think anybody that wants to take the high out of this medicine is an idiot. And when you look at what these drug companies, what they've done, I mean, they passed it all to the drug companies, you know, the research and everything. And, of course, the dream of the drug companies was to produce a synthetic, you know, that they could patent, you know, and their aim, of course, was to take the high out. And they never did that either.
Yeah.
The synthetics that they actually produced, from what I understand, they're only effective on about 13% of people, and they do come with side effects. And they don't have near the healing power that the real cannabinoids from the plant itself has. So why are drug companies producing something synthetic when you can grow it right on a plant?
I think that's one reason why they do it, Rick.
It's the money.
Yeah, it's money. It's all about money, really. Money and power and control. Because if they legalized it, hell, anybody could grow it. Anybody could grow however much they wanted. Everybody could treat themselves the way they wanted to, and then they would lose profits, and they wouldn't be able to control people so easily. And that's really right. What their aims are, is control and money and power and profit. And it's just disgusting that we've allowed our world to go down this road, because it's going to be a really uncomfortable walk back up.
You know, I always get a kick. Some of the older women that I've treated, I used to give out thousands of seeds every year. Every patient that came to me, I'd give them seeds. You know, grow your own. But a great number of older ladies, you know, in their 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, they come back and tell me, you know, they told me later, you know, that they really enjoy growing this plant. You know, to them, it's like a nice hobby. You know, grow your own.
It's a beautiful plant.
Why not? It is a beautiful plant.
Just gorgeous. I mean, I've looked at buds before and just thought, God, this is so beautiful. I just could sit here and stare at this creation of the source that it's just naturally wonderful. I could just sit there and stare at it. But
well, the old farmers, you know, the old farmers, you know, that, well, anybody that, you know, is a farmer. I had one gentleman came to my house there one time. He used to supply me with horse manure. And because that's what I prefer to use as a fertilizer when I'm growing outside. And he came to the house one day, and I don't know, I guess the plants were about 3-4 feet tall. And he asked me, he said, would you mind if I took a walk down into the garden? I said, no, go ahead. So I was standing up on my deck, and I watched him, and he walked down in the garden, and he started looking around. You know, there was that year there was over 1,600 plants there. And he was looking around, and he got this great big smile on his face. And I walked down to him, and I said, Ronnie, I said, you seem like you're in a pretty happy mood. He said, Rick, just standing here in this field of hemp, he said, it just feels right. And not much wonder it does. I mean, farmers grew this crop for thousands of years. They used it to feed their livestock. They used it for everything. You know, so I can honestly understand the way he felt. And I think all farmers should feel that way. You know, I mean, we can treat our own animals, our own livestock, with this medication. Because it works on all types of animals, too. You know, I know the vets won't like this too much. But...
On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. The they shuffle around every 4 years doesn't mean anything. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around, I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, in fact, did not even leave the house on election day, am in no way responsible for what these people have done, and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with.
Everyone, we are speaking with Rick Simpson on American Freedom Radio in the Middle Chamber. It's been really nice to talk with Rick so far. I'd like to get back to what we were talking about right before the break, Rick. You were talking about how a friend of yours had come and visited you and asked to take a walk into your garden. And after seeing this really big smile on his face, you came and asked him, and he just told you that he felt so good. And personally, I can see how that would happen. Because I have grown vegetables on myself, and also don't tell anybody, but I have had a plant growing at one time in my life, or not, of the cannabinoidal variety. And you really can't. I think what he was experiencing was the love from those plants, because.
Well, I mean, farmers have some. You know, well, they're. You know, I mean, they grow plants. And, you know, I can quite easily understand the way he felt. But, I mean, this crop has always been such an important part of farming. You know, for thousands of years, you know, this was a very important food source, you know, for livestock. You know, the pressed hemp seed cake, after they take the oil out, they used to feed that to the cows and things like that. And there's nothing better for them. It's a wonderful, you know, feed for livestock. And, you know, if farmers could... you know, had the right to grow this plant again, that, you know, well, it'd be a lot better to make your own animal feed, you know, than it would be to buy it. So, to me, it's you know, just a no-brainer. You know, all farmers should be given the right to grow this plant. And on top of that, the medicine that can be produced would also be very valuable in treating their livestock and pets. Because, I mean, this oil works on all animal life. We all have an endocannabinoid system, and animals do, too. And so the medicine works on, you know, all living creatures. So, I mean, to me, it's insane to be, you know, doing what we're doing. The farmers need this. We all need it. And the American people are desperate right now. And they, you know, this whole thing right now, I mean, we're in the middle of a cancer epidemic, for God's sakes.
Oh, I know.
But nobody's doing a damn thing about it. You know, you got the drug companies running around, you know, with their nonsense. You know, more chemo, more radiation. Yeah, right. You know, yeah. I mean... We have to start behaving sensibly. And until we start using empiric medicines from plants to heal ourselves, we are not behaving rationally.
I agree. You know, I'd never even thought of the possibilities of feeding your livestock remnants of the hemp plant after you've processed it into the oil. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense. One more use. For this plant.
There's nothing about this plant that doesn't make a lot of sense, dear.
I agree with you. And I thought about, you know, how I don't know if you eat meat or not, but I'm not a vegetarian. I do like meat. And I've found that grass-fed beef in particular tastes so much better than, you know, grain-fed beef or the commercially produced beef. And I can just imagine, and plus it's less harmful to you because they probably wouldn't have had all the antibiotics and whatnot added to it.
Right.
And I can just imagine how much better, even than grass-fed beef, hemp-fed beef would be as a food source.
I wouldn't eliminate grass entirely, but, you know...
No.
You know, feeding them the hemp seed cake and things like that would certainly be very beneficial to, you know, to any livestock. And, you know, like I said, farmers should have the right to do this. You know, most farmers today are strapped pretty tight, you know, just trying to stay alive. And if they could grow this crop, it would make a huge difference, you know, in their costs. So to me, it's, like I said, a no-brainer. They should be allowed to grow it. Anybody should be allowed to grow it on any scale they want. You know, it'd be a different thing if you're doing harm. But who did the hemp plant ever hurt?
Right.
What, a government or a rich guy?
Exactly. No. That's who it hurts. It hurts the corporations, the people making all the money, the lawmakers, the police. It, you know, gives them less to do, I would say. You know, in Colorado, I think it was Colorado, or one of the states, either Colorado or Washington, one of the comments made in one of the articles that I read about it, about their legalization moves, they said, you know, now we can spend the tens of thousands of dollars and man hours actually fighting crime. Because now all these people who were unjustly punished for using a simple plant, for whatever reason that they did or for however they did, will not be prosecuted anymore. And that's got to be a huge blow.
The bottom line is anybody that's in jail for marijuana is not a criminal. But the people that put them there, they are. There's no question. And they're the ones that should be doing the time. You know, not the innocent hemp grower. I look at hemp growers, even the people that are growing it and selling it. You know, to me, they're heroes. They're the only ones doing anything right. You know, like, I mean, at least they're producing it. And, you know, and of course you get all these restrictions and they face, you know, these harsh penalties. But to me, the hemp growers are the only ones that are doing things properly. And
yeah.
There is a pretty good cross-section out there now. There's many people now that are supplying high-grade oils, and they're helping vast numbers of people worldwide. But I should also mention there are also many others that are producing low-grade oils and just so they can fill their pockets. So it really is public, or buyer beware at this stage of the game.
Right.
You know, we need quality control in place, to perfect this medicine properly. And as long as these restrictions are there, then we'll never be able to do this.
I agree. I was just about to say the same thing, that until the laws change.
Well, I think it's just about time that everybody stood up and just told their governments point blank, look, we've had enough of your nonsense. Now we're going to grow the plant. Get out of our way.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
You know, we're the people. You work for us. And it's just about high time you realized it.
Exactly. Amen. One other thing that I found very significant about that video that I'd watched regarding the juicing and of marijuana plants for nutritional benefit was one of the doctors who had been interviewed. He made such a significant point to me. He said that if marijuana and the medical benefits alone of it, not to mention the non-medicinal benefits of it, was discovered yesterday or last week in the Amazon, and we found this out, that it would be hailed as the most important scientific and medical discovery ever in our modern time.
I think your doctor is lying to you, dear. You know, we've been fed that same nonsense for years. You know, the drug companies are down in the Amazon, you know, looking everywhere for medications that can help us. They're not down there doing that at all.
No.
Down there, they're destroying the tradition that the shamans had. They're the real healers on this planet.
Oh, I agree with you there.
Everything they possibly can. And if hemp was discovered tomorrow in the Amazon, they would hide that too.
Ah, that's true. That's a good point. I just thought it was really significant that that if we were allowed, maybe it was that we were allowed to know the benefits, that enough people, like what we're trying to do here today with our talk, is to try and get people more aware of it all. I think what he was getting at was that it wouldn't have had the decades of propaganda against it if we just discovered it today. Yeah, they may have hidden it, but
the simple truth is they actually there was chemists back in the 1800s that actually produced this oil. You know, and doctors back in those days. Well, all the pharmaceutical companies, they were all producing hemp, or almost all of them were producing hemp-based medicines. You know, so, and doctors were going out and buying crops from farmers, and they were producing their own medicines. So, you know, it's not a fact that they don't know what this does. I mean, you know, the history of this plant alone, you know, when you look at back in the 1800s, I mean, it was just common practice for drug companies to produce, you know, the natural essential oils from these medicinal plants and herbs. Well, of course, they would produce the essential oil of the hemp plant, wouldn't they? But when they did that, they would be producing the same substance that I've been healing everyone with. So I honestly believe that somewhere back in the 1850s or early 1860s that they must have known about, they had to know about this. But they also realized at the time that if, you know, the public and the farmers became aware of this, that they would be out of business because practically all the farmers in those days were growing this plant. And so it's just been a big hide-and-seek game is all it's really been. And it's a very sad thing because I honestly do believe that if it hadn't been for the manipulation of the pharmaceutical industry, I think we would have had the cure for cancer and practically everything else likely about 150 years ago. You know, I mean, because they were perfectly capable in those days of producing. I mean, they had alcohol. They had solvents that would work. So there was no restrictions there. And I know they did produce it because I read, you know, these articles about these chemists and scientists that actually did it back in the 1800s. But I don't know what they did with the oil. I guess they must have smoked it or something because they certainly never supplied it to the public. You know, my God, what a horrible thing for a drug company to do, supply a cure-all, you know. So that's not good business to a drug company because there's no return business. And on top of that, like I said, most people would, you know, farmers were growing it freely, so most people would just supply themselves. But,
right.
You know, that's...
And therein lies the rub.
If any drug company had done this properly way back then and produced this on a massive scale and made it available at a reasonable cost, then we would be living in a totally different world today. It was just greed and corruption that put us, you know, where we're at now.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you there. I'd like to talk a little bit more. I know that we discussed it a little bit when we spoke before about protection against radiation, nuclear radiation and otherwise, because I feel like it is so significant to the time that we're living in today to have a protection against nuclear radiation, considering what's happened in Japan, considering the fact that there are, I think out of the 104 to 106 nuclear power plants around America alone, not to mention Canada and Mexico and wherever else.
There's almost 500 of them worldwide.
Yeah, and 100 of them are here. That's just great. makes me so proud to be an American, let me tell you. So a quarter of those power plants are of the same blueprint structurally as Fukushima. And all it would take would be for a big earthquake or a tsunami or a hurricane or something like that to throw our nuclear systems into or our nuclear power plants into the same situation as there. And then, I mean, can you just imagine? Like on the eastern seaboard, the Plymouth power plant that's real close to me is just like Fukushima. And it's right on the water, just like Fukushima was. And that water goes out to the ocean and to the other side of the world. And it's just maddening to me.
Well, they've got power plants in the U.S., or nuclear plants in the U.S., that are built right on earthquake fault lines. You know, so, I mean...
Yeah, almost like meant for that to happen.
I mean, what do the people that study the Earth, you know, like before they build a nuclear plant, I would think they would have to do some type of study. So, I mean, you would have to be insane to build something like that on a fault zone, or in a fault zone. So, I mean, you know, it's more than obvious that, you know, these were there to, yes, produce power, but they were also there to bring destruction. And they are doing just that. I mean, Fukushima is a very dramatic example. But, you know, Chernobyl, Three Mile Islands, and all of these, you know, there's so many of these nuclear spills and things going on that half the time I don't even think they're reported.
But they're not. They're really not, because up in Vermont, one of the power plants up there was leaking tritium into the water supply. There was a couple around that were doing that for years, and nobody said
I think it's truly disgusting what the governments are doing today. I remember, like, when Chernobyl occurred, I mean, there was only about 3% of the radiation that escaped into, or the available radiation that escaped into the atmosphere. The other 97% is sitting there under that cement sarcophagus, which is deteriorating rapidly. But, you know, when that occurred, you know, I remember the Canadian government and the American governments and all the statements and the papers and everything, you know, like poor Europe, they've got all this radiation. Well, now it's not just pure Europe. It's the whole damn world. And why aren't our governments in North America, why aren't they reporting this honestly? You know, they're, you know, oh, no, we stopped taking radiation counts. You know, why would you do that? And why would you stop reporting them?
Yeah.
You know, it truly is amazing what these people are doing. And, I mean, I studied nuclear energy myself, and the bottom line is, you know, they've harnessed the atom to boil water. And I got about halfway through the Atomic Energy of Canada's book on the subject, and I realized right then that you would have to be an idiot to even work in one of these plants.
Right.
Because they're nothing but dangerous.
Makes me think of Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he's my brother.
So can you tell us a little bit more about how the use of hemp oil would protect us against sort of a thing?
Well, I've seen it, you know, with the people that came to me, you know, that after they'd gone through the medical system, my God, some of these people were damaged so horribly. It was unbelievable. You know,
Rick,
I mean,
we're going to have to pick it up when we get back. Unfortunately, we're going back to another break.
Okay.
As soon as we come back, though, let's pick it right back up because I think that is such an important thing for us to go into.
Okay, dear. Be happy to.
Thank you.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. The major media destroys information. And religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
All you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Everyone to the Middle Chamber on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. This is the last segment. It's a shame because this time is not long enough to go into what we're talking about today. Rick, before the break, we were talking about hemp oil as used as protection against radiation, and I would really like to go into that because, if nothing else, I think that it's a good enough reason for people to start paying a lot of attention to hemp and the healing benefits thereof or therein. And so if you could really just give us a little bit more of an idea of how it can protect us. And also, if you could highlight some of the, we talked before about the different strains producing different effects and different applications and everything like that. If you could just lay that out for us a little bit here, that'd be great.
Okay. We'll do the radiation first. No, I mean, it's like I said, over the years, I've had so many people come to me that had been so badly damaged by the medical system. I seen what radiation could do. And, you know, and it was amazing to me because I watched that damage disappear in no time because they were ingesting the oil. Because what the oil does, it simply keeps your body in a state of detoxification. If you're taking oil, you basically are constantly detoxifying. And where I seen it, you know, it erased the damage, the radiation damage that the medical system left behind, then I would strongly suspect that it would do the same, you know, for the damage that we're receiving from Fukushima and places like that. You know, keep your body detoxified. Don't let these, you know, all these horrible things, well, you can't even see these particles. I mean, it could be on your food or you could just breathe it in and suddenly you got cancer. Well, if you got oil in you, there's a much less chance that's going to occur. So I think that's a very good reason, you know, why people should be taking this oil. As for the medicinal effects, This is something that people have to understand about this plant. You know, the hemp plant is just not one thing. You know, there are thousands and thousands of different varieties of this plant, and they all have their own medicinal qualities. And, I mean, what I would like to do is go out and get the most medicinal strains on this planet, then grow them and cross them and stabilize these strains, and then make the seeds available to people at a very, very reasonable cost, you know, not like the seed companies.
And then, so by stabilize, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but by stabilize, do you mean crossbreeding them to make so that regardless of what strain it is, it still has a good deal of medicinal properties?
Well, I mean, the idea is to get the very best medicinal properties. You know, I mean, that's what medicine's all about. But by crossing these strains, and then, you know, what you do is you stabilize the seeds. So, I mean, if you have a stabilized strain, when you put out 100 seeds, they all look the same. The plants all look the same when they grow. But in some cases today, I mean, when you send to a seed company today, you have no idea what you're getting. You know, I mean, I always tell people, look for an indica strain that's 20 to 25% THC. The more powerful, the better. But when you order these seeds, you really have no idea what they're going to send you. And the simple truth is, many different seed companies sell the same strains. And if you took a strain like White Widow and you sent to five different seed companies and bought the White Widow strain and you grew it, you'd have five different strains entirely and with different medical values. That's the problem right now. Hemp is not stable. So if we could make these medicinal strains, the seeds from these medicinal strains available, so people always knew what they were growing, it would make a tremendous difference. You know, and we could perfect this medicine very, very rapidly because we can do the simple research that's required while we're healing the people because there is no harm factor to this medicine. It doesn't kill anyone. You know, to me, it's the only sensible thing to do.
I'd like to go to all the universities that are currently doing research for all the pharmaceutical industries and, frankly, make them start doing research on hemp because... It has to be.
What I'd like to know is why does it have to be somebody like me, you know, that brings this out? You know, a guy with a grade eight education, you know, a power engineer with a brain injury, and you bring out the greatest medical discovery in history. You know, what's going on in those laboratories and these drug companies and these hospitals, you know, all of these medical facilities? You know, they come to us and they pretend like they know, you know, everything there is to know about medicine. In reality, they know nothing.
Yeah. Well, you know, throughout history, all of the greatest movements have really started with just one person in the beginning. And you just happen to be that guy this time around, Rick. And I'm glad that you're here to be that guy.
I got forced into the position, dear.
Yeah, well... I would imagine that more than one of them also probably felt that they were, you know, pushed for the lack of any other way to go into the crusades that they would take up. And I hate to use the word crusade, but it's kind of how I feel.
Well, I almost have to laugh at it. When I was home in Canada this summer, everybody I talked to, they all knew. You know, I'd been gone almost three years then. When I came back, they all said, you know, we know this medicine works. And I looked at them and I said, well, why don't you do something about it? But I don't know, the people just don't feel they have the power. You know, governments work for us. We're the ones that are supposed to be telling them what to do. Instead, they're doing whatever they want. So, you know, to me, there's nothing rational going on here at all. You know, it's time for the people in all countries, I think, to stand up and tell their governments that, you know, like, unless they're going to start working for the population, then it's time for them to resign. And what we need is independent representation anyway. We have to get rid of the parties. We need independent, honest people, you know, with a high moral standard that will represent us properly and not be criminals. Because that's all we have around us today. I mean, I look at all politicians in the same light. I've never met an honest one. And believe me, I've talked to a great number of them.
I was actually talking with my husband about something like that today, about how it seems to me that the people who rise up in political office are often the ones that are the best at doing what they're told, and the stronger ones that can't just seem to be led very easily by the powers that be don't make it. And they're hidden from us all, because if they were to be out in the open with everybody, then, you know,
well, one big
the agendas might not be able to go through.
Well, one big thing they're afraid of, you know, when people start using hemp, it breaks the spell. You know, from what I understand, if you're smoking pot, you can't be hypnotized. I read that report here quite a while ago. Now,
yeah.
You know, that should tell you something right there. You can't be hypnotized because you're smoking pot. Obviously, there's something going on in your mind that's making you, you know, behave a bit differently. So, it's like I said, there's no downside to this medicine whatsoever. And if people would just use it properly, and it is such an easy medicine to use. You know, when you've got a medicine with no danger factor, you know, I mean, if you sit down and you could eat a cupful of this oil, you wouldn't die. You might sleep for a month, but you wouldn't die. You know, and you'd probably wake up, if you had a disease, you would likely wake up cured. You know, so
well, you know, that makes me think of the rhesus monkey experiment that we're all shown as, you know, as an example of the harmful benefits of harmful effects of marijuana. And how,
you know,
those monkeys, they died after having been given so much. But they don't tell you that those monkeys were deprived of oxygen, that they were force-fed all of that marijuana smoke through a mask that didn't allow them to actually breathe. So, yeah, yep. Their brain cells were killed. And, yeah, they did get suffocated, but it wasn't the marijuana smoke. It was a lack of oxygen to their brain and lungs that made that happen.
You're absolutely correct. But, I mean, when you look at all of these so-called studies that are out there, the bottom line is we can't trust any of them. I mean, we have to go back now, and we have to start all over again with empiric medicine, and we need people that will bring the real truth about the healing powers of these plants to the public in an honest way. No more of these damn deceptions. You know, but
absolutely.
At least we do have the, you know, we do know this now, and we do have the hemp plant to turn to. And I think the faster we do that, the better. Because we desperately need this plant. And, you know, I'm just horrified when I've walked into, you know, hospitals. I remember one day I was in Moncton, and I went into a hospital up there, and by mistake I walked into the waiting room for the cancer ward. And when I walked in, there was it must have been like 200 people sitting there in all different stages of dying. And I just stopped and looked at them, and I wanted to scream, you know, get out that door, run for your lives, get away from these idiots.
Right.
But, you know, back home, like, even though the people know this works, and I've had people, you know, tell me point blank, well, I can't use that medicine because it's illegal. They don't want to break the law. You know,
right.
I mean, when it comes down to your own life, to hell with the laws. If something can heal you, by all means, do it.
I agree. Rick, it looks like we're coming up to the end of the show. I would love to have you back on because I don't think that, well, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but I think that this needs to be talked about as much as possible. But it's been so wonderful speaking with you, and I hope that everyone who's listening to our program tonight goes out, buys your book, reads it, sees the truth in it, and then tells everybody else that they know, because we all need this information. And the more of us that know, the better chance, I think, that we all have at changing the way it's viewed and the laws around it. It's American Freedom Radio. This is the Middle Chamber. Thanks to Systemic, to CB, to Sonic for all the great music. Thank you, Daniel, for being here for this earlier recording from AFR. And Rick Simpson, it's been great to speak with you. PhoenixTears.ca is Rick's website. Please, everybody, wake up. Thank you all for being here. American Freedom Radio, Saturday.
There, wasn't that a nice visit? Don't forget, a psychiatrist is on duty 24 hours a day in the blue room, just up from the parking garage. Drink plenty of water when you take these. Now you can relax and return to your job.